President Trump made some conservatives scared recently, saying that he wanted to impose a 25% tariff on steel imports and 10% on aluminum tariffs in order to try and offset the trade imbalance. Under our Constitution, does the president or the legislative branch have the power to declare a tariff? Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Matt Spaulding of Hillsdale College. Matt is also the editor of the Heritage Guide to the Constitution. Matt, welcome back to the program. Always a pleasure to have you on, sir.
It's good to be with you. Good afternoon.
So, okay, so is it the president or is it the legislative branch?
Well, my broader answer is it's both, and that's the problem. In all of this discussion about tariffs, I always like to step back and take a broader view. From a constitutional point of view, it's very clear. Article 1 gives the power over tariffs, taxes, duties, imposts, and excises to Congress. They have the power to lay and collect those things. The problem, however, is that beginning in the 1940s, but then again in the 1960s and 70s over time, as part of the larger changes in how Congress operates, they essentially delegated much of that power away to the executive, such that today President Trump is actually using legislative power he's been delegated by Congress in the past. So on the one hand, all these members of Congress are upset about they don't like tariffs, this is bad policy, they disagree with the policy, but the fact of the matter, this is a problem of their own making, and from my perspective, a great opportunity to once again make my general point that Congress needs to legislate, and they should take back that legislative power, especially in a case where they disagree with an executive of either party, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. There was an article from Forbes magazine by Stuart Anderson that was actually attached to the same, email pitching you to discuss this, and Stuart Anderson says this, and so I want you to comment on this. Would Republicans want President Bernie Sanders? No. Would Republicans want President Bernie Sanders to have the authority to raise taxes whenever he wants? If not, then why would they be fine with giving any president the power to impose tariffs on imported goods? After all, every economist knows a tariff is just another name for a tax. Would you unpack that quote?
Well, from an economic point of view, tariff, tax, these are fine distinction, I suppose, and as far as we're concerned, they are of the same ilk, so that's fine, that's correct. But the larger thing he's pointing out here, which I would even emphasize all the more, is that it's very important for us to understand, in the midst of these kinds of debates, how they occur, how these policy decisions are made and implemented is crucially important. The essential quality of the American system is that the powers for getting things done were divided, especially in terms of the popular branches, between a legislative branch, which passes the laws, and an executive branch, which executes the laws. Now, execution oftentimes requires doing some things to actually carry out the law, which is understandable, but the essential qualities of legislating were meant to stay with the legislative branch. Those two things were supposed to remain separated. And nowadays, a lot of things are done that are essentially legislative by the executive branch. So the quality of where they're done, that act, the fact that the executive can now raise tariffs, is actually not merely a concern when it comes to whether or not it's a tax and the effect that's going to have on the economy, a very legitimate question. The question I raise, which I find very problematic, is increasingly, and we see this in many areas, not just tariffs, regulatory authority, environmental protection, housing, whatever it might be, lots of things have been delegated to the executives so that modern presidents now have wide authority through regulatory powers, or in this case, a delegated power to raise tariffs on their own if they believe it's necessary. They have wide power to do things which we would normally think are legislative questions on their own, without even consulting Congress, which is, say, not passing it through the normal lens of legislative consent. That's what's deeply troubling here and should be deeply troubling on both sides of the political aisle when you're dealing with a Congress and executive of different parties. they're supposed to be checking and balancing each other, not merely complaining about whatever a president can do on their own.
Hmm. So if the president were to be able to do this, he would, what, do it through an executive order or something like that? I decree there shall be a 25% tariff, you know, on steel, especially imported from China. That kind of thing?
That's right. I mean, in this particular case, there was you know, a Trade Expansion Act in 1962, and that was amended in 1974, that allows the president, if he thinks it's necessary for a national security issue, in this case, the steel question has been discussed as a national security matter, to, on their own, raise tariffs. And they would do it by issuing an appropriate order to do so. That strikes me as a good example of a question which is inherently legislative, which is to say, if you look at American history going back to the very beginning, tariffs have always been debated. Tariffs have always been questions in policy. Some people don't like them. Some people like them. It's a political question. Where's the best way to solve those kinds of policy questions, but within the debate of a legislative body in which there are many voices?
Okay, but let me push back if I could.
Sure.
It sounds to me like in the 1960s and 1970s, the Congress, you know, both sides, both houses, went ahead and solved, or, you know, came down with their solution to this, giving the president authority. Maybe he didn't have technically under the Constitution as it was originally written, but he has it now, baby, and here it is. Boom. You can do a tariff if you want.
Right. That's right. Well, so that goes back to my original question that you asked me, who has the authority? And my answer was, well,
right,
both, because
right,
the Constitution originally gave it to the legislature. The legislature has more recently delegated away to the executive. The question I'm raising here, which is something we should be considering, is whether that was a good idea. And I'm pointing out that the, you know, for some time now, going back to the end of the 19th, early 20th century, there was this idea that things would become so complicated that Congress ought to essentially give away more and more of its legislative power to the executive. And this was a way of seeing how we ought to operate. Indeed, that's oftentimes the default today, which is why we complain about, you know, bureaucrats issuing regulations all the time, which are essentially laws. That's a governing problem.
Mm-hmm.
We have a debate today over tariffs. The president has raised them. It's perfectly legitimate and legal what he has done. But behind that, we should again point out that, well, this is because an earlier Congress has delegated that authority to him. Congress does that more and more. And what we should be advocating is for Congress to reclaim that legislative authority so that those kind of debates are in the legislature, which means they're subject more immediately to a lot more elections. You'll have more bipartisan debate, and you'll have more discussions of policies rather than presidents, in this case President Trump, or in many cases we will recall on the other side President Obama, or as some future president, Republican or Democrat, merely issuing orders. That's not kind of Republican self-government. That's not a government emphasizing the legislative power and the rule of law. And I think that we've come to a point in the history of our country where this is yet another example of something we should have a broader national discussion about.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting, as you are a student of the Constitution in a very strong way, it would be fair to say, I think, from what I understand of the Constitution and my reading of it and the Federalist Papers and so forth, which really help explain why they decided what they decided and so forth, the Founding Fathers really emboldened the people through their elected representatives. And the executive branch then just basically takes what the people decide through their representatives and executes it, you know, with little changes here or there or whatever. And the judicial branch essentially is like a referee and so forth. But now the power, you know, by number one, a strong executive, you know, grabbing more and more power unto himself, And then certainly the judges in some of these Supreme Court decisions, you know, making incredible decisions affecting everyday life in America on all kinds of different, you know, very divisive and controversial issues. They're taking away that power and authority from our elected representatives. So we, the people, are kind of emasculated to some degree today.
No, very well said. I mean, the purpose of setting up the constitutional system the way the founders did it, perfectly in line with what you just explained, was that the way to prevent tyranny, despotism, heavy-handed government, was to divide up its powers, to create checks and balances, the arguments we see in something like the Federalist Papers. So we have three branches, and they all do a function. We have to pass law, but another aspect of governing is to execute law. And the Americans added this third idea, which I think is crucial to the idea of the whole thing, which is there does have to be a referee that makes sure this is all occurring under the Constitution, in line with the Constitution. Great project, great program, great system. But there became this idea, beginning with the American progressives, and it's since been playing out, that things have become more complicated. We need to get around that to be more efficient. More and more things are being subsumed into the executive branch, especially legislative power being delegated to the administration, to bureaucracies, to agencies, departments. And at the same time, we've had a rise in the authority of the courts, especially the federal courts. The practical one that is very, I think, problematic, perhaps in many ways more so than the courts. The courts are very high profile and big decisions. And that's a problem. But in terms of the day-to-day regulatory, who's in charge of what's going on, how is authority subsumed into Washington from local and state governments, that really is a function of what Congress has done originally intentionally by design to delegate away authority to agencies, administrative branch, bureaucracies, so they could do more and more things. And then Congress really does oversight and the budget, which they actually don't do that anymore as well.
Yeah.
But the point is, this is a different way of governing that, you're absolutely right, not only allows for more centralization and more power within government, but because it's not broken down and distributed, especially into elected branches like Congress, it is less consistent with self-government, namely popular self-government, in which there's much more popular control and a check on all of these things. Increasingly, these things are done by an executive and by courts. The two of the three, those are the two least elected branches, as opposed to Congress, which is supposed to keep the handle on all of these things.
And when we look at Washington, D.C., and we see all these different agencies, even, let's say, the EPA, that would be a, if you had to kind of take the three major branches of government and then say which one of these branches of government does that fall under, that would be the executive branch, correct? The EPA.
That's correct. Although the way I would put it is that these were originally created under the executive branch, although a lot of them are now independent agencies. They kind of float out there, and they're not directly under the president's control. This is also a problem.
Oh.
Such that today, I think it's fair to say, we actually have four branches of government. We have the three we're used to, but essentially the accumulation, the addition, the multiplication of all these agencies, you know, kind of under the executive, but also kind of under Congress, but kind of having their own budgets, has created what is essentially a fourth branch, which Congress can't really control, and increasingly it's hard for the president to control it as well. That's why today we speak of this problem of bureaucratic government. And getting back control of that is going to be very difficult. And here I'm just suggesting, here's an example. You don't like what the president's done on tariff policy? That's because you delegated that away. Well, why don't you bring it back, call it back, and then debate it within the legislature? That's how we begin getting all this back under control. And at some point, there are lots of other examples of agencies and departments. Departments are created under the executive branch. These agencies sometimes float out on their own. Getting all that back, you need legislative authority over them, which is consistent with the Constitution, and then executive power exerted over them as well. They shouldn't be outside of those two popularly elected branches.
All right, Matt Spaulding, thanks so much for sharing your thoughts on this. Appreciate
it. Great being with you.
Okay, hillsdale.edu for more information. Thanks, Matt. All the best.